As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everyone? It's Bo here with another Picard TV Talk. That's right, Star Trek TV Talk, Picard Season 3. Yeah, you know the deal. Listen, there is something about Geordi. When he tells you to stay away from his daughter, I don't think you want to take his word for it, okay? I don't think Reading Rainbow is going to let that stand. So you best watch out. You best watch out, Jack Crusher. Oh, man. Okay, so there is, you know, tis the season, right? We are right here in the midst of Easter, and there is something that we love this time of year, and that is to search around the yard if it's nice weather, inside if it's not nice weather, for these little things, these colorful little spherical-esque things that you find, and you put them in your basket, and then either maybe they've got candy inside, maybe you turn them in for candy, whatever, you know, your various tradition may be. The point is, we are all about Easter eggs this time of year. And here with this episode, The Bounty, apparently so is Star Trek. Now, I know that there's a lot of criticism when it comes to reimagining, or not even reimagining, but kind of resurrecting some of these franchises later on in the tail end of their, you know, shelf life, that more often than not, it can become about Easter eggs and about throwbacks and callouts and, you know, all of these things that as fans of a franchise we love. But then there's also this weird thing that happens where sometimes we hate that. I don't know. Not me. I generally love all the shout outs. I have no problem with the fact, for example, that Luke's dice shows up. I'm sorry, that Han's dice show up in The Last Jedi. That's a deep cut. That was nice that they kind of incorporated it in that way. I thought that was cool. And so being kind of removed from the broader Star Trek fandom, I don't know exactly how all of these Easter eggs that we're getting is being received, but I gotta imagine it's gotta be well, right? I mean, okay, so look, I love Voyager. We got a major Voyager shout out in this episode with the actual ship itself, hearing the theme music play, hearing Seven talk about her time there. I like that they're not pretending that these other franchises or these other aspects of the franchise didn't happen, but in many respects, Season 3 of Picard is really incorporating all of these things in a really epic way. We've got aspects of the Dominion War playing in massively here, and we've got Voyager characters like Seven talking about what happened in the Dominion War, even though she was on the other side of the galaxy at that point. So the interweaving of all of these different aspects of the franchise into this one narrative, I think, has been done very well, and I've been enjoying it immensely. And what's great about this is that we actually have two different locations throughout this episode where they're just chock full of Easter eggs, right? Like, on the one hand, we go to, you know, Geordi's museum where he's been chilling out. He's got basically every single, you know, hero ship from Star Trek's past, present, and future. They're all right here. And, you know, Jack and Seven even get a chance to kind of rotate through and see all of the best ofs and the greatest hits. I like how they comment also on the lighting in some of these ships, because obviously everything is so dark in modern Star Trek, right? Like, it's constantly dark. The lights are never on. I've got to imagine at some point there's got to be like these characters have to walk onto the deck of like a starship that the lights are actually working. Maybe the Abrams lens flares just burned out the lights on all these things. That's probably what happened. But by the way, in that scene where they're, you know, kind of talking about these two things, dude, this Jack Crusher kid, am I wrong or does he have chemistry with everybody? Was I kind of low-key shipping him in Seven? I mean, oh yeah, I get that there's like an age difference, but you know, I mean, like, you know, hey, I see you, Seven. Okay, you know, look, Jack Crusher, he's a good-looking kid, you know, do your thing. Meanwhile, Jack is also over here making eyes at Geordi's daughter. I'm just telling you, Jack is over here macking on every single lady on the ship. Are we sure this isn't Kirk's kid? It seems like Kirk's kid. Anyway, all that to say, at the museum, there are all of these great throwbacks to these ships of the past, and to see them kind of maintaining that classic-esque, you know, sci-fi era look while also just bringing him into the universe as we see it through the lens of Picard, I thought was done extremely well. Meanwhile, at Sector 3890-12, whatever they are, Worf, and we've got Riker, and we've got Rathi, and they're going through all of these different, like, top-kept secret things of Star Trek's past, right? We've got various bodies of various captains, especially the title one. We'll talk about that in a second. We also have a mutated evil Trivel. That's fun. The Genesis device was mentioned. You saw it on screen. I don't know what that is. I'll be straight up with you. I have no earthly idea what that is. And then, of course, the reintroduction of Data, who died last season, and all of these different kind of takes on the Data character, from his creator to his, children to his sibling to all of these different, you know, Data-esque characters. Basically, everybody that this actor has played, they're wrapping up into this, what they call a golem, this humanoid body that has been aged up to kind of give the appearance of wisdom, but also to, you know, finally get past having to de-age this character like every single time he appears on screen. And it works nicely. And you've got kind of this, you know, this essentially council of Data's existing in the mind of this character. I love that moment, by the way, that he shares with Geordi. Like, it's so special and tender. Like, I thought it was a beautiful little moment as we get the majority of these of the classic cast coming together, which, interestingly enough, as we're getting Geordi there, then Riker and Worf leave the ship. And then when Worf and Rathi come back, Riker gets left behind. So even as the show itself is gathering up all these characters, it's doing a pretty good job of keeping them separate to save what one imagines is going to be that hero moment where all of them are together again for something special, probably the finale, if not the penultimate episode of the series. There's a great moment where Rathi and Seven see each other, and you know, this is the beautiful thing. Those characters have always never had good chemistry. I'm sorry, they just have never had good chemistry. And I love the awkwardness that was their relationship in season two is on full display here in their breakup, and it works so much better as this couple who had this breakup because the awkwardness works there. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something about that works. And then of course, Worf had the joke about the, I've often gone into battle with former lovers and, oh good, I was lying. Yeah, like, I'm glad you're not coming. That's pretty funny. But I want to talk about something this series did really well in terms of the promotion of it. You know, early on in the commercials, we got our first introduction of, or I guess reintroduction of Moriarty, and that was a big deal. So, you know, while I don't know a whole lot about TNG, one of the very few episodes I am familiar with is the Sherlock Holmes Moriarty, mostly because of, well, a few reasons. One, we see Data with a pipe, and I'm a big fan of pipes and pipe tobacco and that sort of thing. And two is the connection with this character of the Doctor from Voyager. You know, when Voyager, we have this character, the Doctor, he's this hologram that is becoming more and more, I guess he's always been sentient, but at least more and more independent. As he evolves, I believe there's a lot of references to this character Moriarty, or maybe I just remember reading up on the character as it relates to the Doctor's arc. And so when he was introduced in the promos for this season, I was like super stoked. I was like, whoa, what a deep cut character to make a, you know, kind of a big bad of this season. Whoops, bait and switch. No, he's not. It's the Dominion, or at least it's the Changelings. And that's where we're going with this. No one saw that coming. What a great way to do a bait and switch. Now, on top of that, when we get him introduced here, it's another bait and switch. This isn't even that Moriarty. This is just Data, or the Council of Data's, that is just kind of messing with their heads to kind of let them know what's going on. Little disappointed that we didn't get more of that character, not gonna lie. But at the same time, I really liked how it was used, or rather how he was used as this bait and switch for the promotion of this series. It got everybody adequately and appropriately hyped for the season, then it removed him and replaced him with a much better villain overall. It kind of reminds me of when Kevin Feige did that whole bait and switch with the Captain America Serpent Society, then takes it away and be like, boom, Civil War. That's kind of what we got. So in the end, we're left things. We know that for whatever reason, we know the Changelings wants Picard's body. My guess is based off of this kind of narrative of, you know, this disease that he has that's been passed on to Jack. Jack's dealing with some stuff. Perhaps that disease is related to what the Changelings had to deal with, or maybe they want to use this disease as a kind of biological weapon against the Federation in the same way the Federation did that to them. It would explain why they wanted Jack. It would explain why they wanted Jean-Luc, like why they wanted their biology, why they wanted their body, and they wanted them alive. Or at least they wanted Jack alive, but looks like they'll settle for Jean-Luc. Or maybe it's because they had Jean-Luc's body and they couldn't make it work with the dead stuff, so now they want the living stuff that's in Jack. Anyway, that's my reigning theory. Looking forward to seeing where it goes. Of course, Deanna Troi is back in the picture. She's with Riker. They're off with the bad guys. My guess is there's going to be a whole lot of like bringing them on home next week. The next episode is called Dominion, so that's a pretty big name to throw out for next week's episode. Totally stoked for this series. Never knew I was going to be this much into a Star Trek series, but I'm loving it. Let me know your thoughts. Hey, real quick, if you haven't already, head over to Instagram. Incognito is my handle. I'm giving away a Podastery t-shirt, a Podastery baseball shirt, essentially. This Wednesday, one random person is going to be reached out to. All you have to do to be qualified to enter in to potentially get one of these shirts is just to direct message me, follow me on Instagram, Incognito. The link is in the description. And message me your t-shirt size. And also, yes, I do need you to be in a place where I could ship it in the United States just for shipping costs and all that kind of good stuff. It's a good way to celebrate 10 years of Podastery. And also, yeah, I need some of that Instagram love. So hook me up. That's going to do it for me for this week. But don't worry, I'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.